Well, I know that most of you knows me, but we do have some visitors. So I would like to introduce myself. My name is Lisa Bibo, and I have been coming to this church for 32 years. But believe me, this is my first time standing in the front of you. I was born and raised in Quebec, Canada. I came from a family of 10, and I'm the baby. I came here at 16 years old, and I didn't know English except for a couple of words, maybe like yes or no. But I really did like the language. As a little girl, I would sit and listen to my dad talk English on the phone. He was a businessman, and he had spoken English before French. I remember saying to myself, someday I would like to speak this language. Who would have known? But God knew. Oh, yeah, maybe somebody can say, well, is this what she called English? What can I say? I try. Soon I got a job babysitting during the day and cleaning the office and the bathroom at night. When I turned 18 years old, I went to work in a factory making curtains. Then I did some welding job at another place. Sometime later, I got news that my dad was dying of lung cancer. My sister Gabby and I, being single, went back to Canada so that we could help our mom with our dad until he passed away. He was only 65 years old and much loved, and I was his baby. When I came back to the state at 16 years old, I started dating a young man. His name was Morris. We had met when I came here for a summer vacation. I was only 11 years old then. We went out for a few years. Then I fell madly in love, and we got married. When we came back from our honeymoon, I got news that my mom was dying. She had pancreatic cancer. And to think that she had just made the long trip just the week before to come for my wedding. It was such a blessing to have her there with me. Only about a week later, she went home to be with Jesus, whom she loved so much. It was very sad and very difficult to accept. She was only 60 years old, and now in such a short time, I had lost both my parents that I loved so much. Just a few months later, I started hairdressing school. I used to brush my mom's hair all the time. I knew she would be proud of me for doing that. I got my citizenship paper about a week before I needed to go take the state board exam for my hairdressing license. I went to work for a while until I was about 6 months pregnant. Then we were blessed with our beautiful daughter, Bridget, a gift from God. We were so very happy. I stayed home and I took care of my little family. We were very much in love. Years went by, always well. We went to church every week, but somehow I felt that something was missing. I wanted more of Jesus. And then one day, my sister-in-law came to visit, and she shared with me how happy she was now that she had found Jesus, and that she wouldn't give him up, even for millions of dollars. Well, God knows how to get her attention, because at that time, we had just bought an old house that we were fixing up, and all I could see then were the dollar sign. We needed lots of money to fix our home. So she invited us girls to go with her the next day. Three of my sister and I went. It was October of 1977 in a little schoolhouse in Mystic. At the end of the service, the pastor said, "If anyone wants more of Jesus in their life, please come forward." This resonated in my heart. That's all I needed to hear. And being the closest to the aisle, I couldn't get up fast enough. My three sisters followed me to the front, and we all prayed the prayer of salvation. At that time, I really didn't understand much about what this all meant. But somehow, God had put a desire in my heart for His Word. My sister and I started to go to prayer meetings and Bible study, and we were learning more and more about Jesus and how much He loved us and all about His promises to us, His children. And it was on Mother's Day of 1978 that I got baptized in water. And shortly after, I received my heavenly language. Years went by, and as I look back to that one day at that little schoolhouse when I had made the decision to follow Jesus, I realize now how important and crucial that decision really was and how it changed my whole life. Jesus became my best friend, my husband, my provider, my counselor, my greatest love. He is my world. One Wednesday evening at church, someone prayed over me and said, "Receive now a ministry of love and faith." My Heavenly Father knew that I would need it. He filled me up with His love. Soon after that, persecution started coming. At my workplace, at home, and with the family. My mother-in-law believed I was in a cult. She called two of my older sisters, thinking they could change my mind. But Jesus had already won my heart. By this time, my marriage was not going well. My husband had a real drinking problem, coming home so drunk, using foul language. I remember being in bed one night. My heart was pounding so hard in my chest, my whole bed was shaking. I was petrified. I remember months before all this happened, he had said to me, "You're too good for me. I don't deserve you." I really didn't want to hear that. I couldn't even imagine why he would ever say something like that to me. And now I understood. Excuse me, I need a drink now. Then came a day I will never forget. It was on a Friday afternoon. The Lord had just delivered me from cigarette that very day. As my sister, she'll tell you, I need a deliverance. She would say to me, "You smoke like a chimney." I was praying, asking God for His help to quit. I wanted to be a better witness for Him. He chose to answer my prayer on that very day, which in my flesh, I would have needed it the most. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I had just come home. My husband was there, and Bridget was at school. I was sitting at the table, talking with Morris, and suddenly he pointed his finger at me and said, "It's either going to be me or your Jesus. Take your pick." Without hesitation, I said, "I pick Jesus." Immediately, I saw the devil in his eyes. Then he told me, "I don't believe in your Jesus. For so long I've been praying that someday I will find you in a ditch somewhere so that I could look at myself in the mirror and like what I see. You're nothing but a snake, the lowest thing on the ground." Then he looked at me and continued, "Why don't you go and kill yourself?" And then he said, "Better yet, I'll even load up the gun for you." This experience I will never forget. At the time all this was happening, I was having what you may call an out-of-body experience. It's very difficult to explain. I was there at the table. My body was sitting at the table, but I was in the spirit. Everything he said didn't touch me. I was totally and completely at peace. This was God's peace that surpasses all human understanding. I never spoke a word. And when he saw that I was not responding to any of it, he yelled, "Why don't you take your Bible and your toothbrush and get out of here?" I then looked at him with such love and a peace in my heart. And I said, "You want to go? You go. For me, I'm not going anywhere." He walked away, grabbed his duffel bag, and got ready to go. again with so much love in my heart. I called his name a couple of times. He didn't respond. After the third time, he asked, "Now, what do you want from me?" And I answered, "I love you so much." And then he said, "Now I know you have to be so crazy." He then left without a word. He got up, closed the door behind him, and told the devil, "This is the worst thing you could have done, and you'll be sorry for this." I then got my Bible, went on the couch, and read God's word for most of the night. I couldn't get enough of his word. It was me and my Lord, and that's all I needed. I was drugged on the Holy Spirit. I prayed and I asked God to help me forgive Morris. I didn't want to be bound with unforgiveness in my heart. I wanted to be free, and I knew that by forgiving him was the only way I could be free. As I made the decision to forgive him, Jesus did the healing in my heart. I also prayed for his salvation and for God to deliver him from alcohol and lust and to restore our marriage. I knew and believed that God could do that. I trusted Jesus with all my heart. And Morris was my whole life at that time. The next morning, I called my sister to tell her Morris had left me. She was very sad, and she told me to come for coffee. When I got to her home, all my older sisters were there, also for support. But for me, I was still high on the Holy Spirit. Nothing could touch me. I soon realized why God had come true for me in such a powerful way. Because without God, only he knew what could have happened to me. I could have done anything for Morris. When I came here at 16 years old, I never even knew that divorce existed. So for me, when I got married, just like my parents, it was for life. I guess you can say I was pretty naive. I believe God has allowed this in my life because you may say that Morris was a God to me. And with him in my life, I know that there's no way I would have the relationship with Jesus that I enjoy now. Every week, I would take Bridget to visit her dad, putting her in God's hand, asking him to keep her safe. I never shared anything with Bridget because I knew it would only hurt her. It was only when she was maybe 14 or 15 that she asked me, "Why didn't my father leave us?" Only then I told her about his drinking and sleeping with a woman. I would also take Bridget to see her meme. But she had told Bridget that she didn't like me and she didn't want to see me anymore. It really broke my heart because we were so close. I told Bridget, "We will keep praying for Mamea and love her anyway, and that someday Jesus will touch and change her heart." And during all this time, I learned to trust and lean on Jesus more and more. And now it was over a year that we had not spoken. This happened on Easter morning. As I was driving up a small hill, the sun was shining so bright. I felt the warmth of God's love coming over me and taking hold of my heart. And then he worked in me the desire to go see Mrs. Beeble. I knew this was from him. When I got to the door, it was open. I saw her sitting at the table. I knocked. She said, "Come in." As I went inside, I immediately fell to my knees, and I asked her to forgive me for whatever I had done to hurt her. We both started crying and hugged each other. And she said to me, "I am so glad you came because I know that I would never have been able to come to you." And God healed our relationship that very day. And in the last days of our life, I was able to take care of her. And she did receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. While we were still separated, Morris shared with me that he wanted to buy a glass business as he and he needed collateral to be able to get it. At the time, we owned a couple of houses, so he asked if I would sign the houses over to him. I told him I'll let him know. I went to God with this, and the word of God was telling me that Maurice was still my husband and that I am to love him and to honor him. For me, all I wanted to do was to obey God's word. So I signed the houses over to him, and he bought the business. A few months later, I got served at work with the divorce paper. I will never forget that day. We were married for 11 years. Bridget was only 8.5 years old, and I was only 33 years old then. This was such a hard thing for me to accept. My heart was broken. God had already set me free when I made the decision and asked God's help to forgive Maurice. But now I needed his help again to forgive me for all the hatred that I felt in my heart toward his wife. I knew I needed God's forgiveness, and also I needed her forgiveness. But there was no way I could do that by myself. It was impossible. Oh, but with God. He was so faithful to answer my cry. He made a way for me. One Saturday morning, as I took Bridget to see her dad, I told his wife I needed to speak with her. I then asked her to forgive me for all the bad feelings I had towards her. I gave her a Bible and told her that Jesus loved her. She did forgive me. And as I left their house that day, I was totally set free, and such a heavy load was off my shoulder. Again, I was at peace with God and with myself. This happened not very long after my husband had left. It was on a Saturday night, which were always so special to us as a couple because it was our date night. I remember going to bed that night, feeling so alone, so lonely, crying to God, telling God, I know how much you love me, Lord, and you know how much I love you too, but I just need someone to hold me. Immediately, I actually felt two arms holding me. This was so very precious to me, to experience my Father's love this way. He is so amazing. He will do everything for his children who loves him and obeys him the best way that they can. He is always ready to bless us, and he delights in doing it. This took place on a Wednesday night service. We had a special guest that evening. She came to me and said, God is saying to you, ask me anything you want, and I will do it for you. I remember asking for Maurice's salvation. Shortly after that night, I had a dream. In the dream, I saw Maurice lying in a casket, but then he sat up. I woke up, my hands in the air, praising God. Right then, the Spirit of God showed me what the dream meant. It was that Maurice was dead spiritually as he was lying there. But when he sat up, God was showing me that he would get saved and be alive spiritually. God knew that I would need that dream as a confirmation to his promise to me that night. And all this time I was praying and believing God for his salvation. A few years later, Maurice lost his business. He went on to Chicago to start a trucking business. I heard his drinking got worse. His health was no good. And soon after, he had lost his wife. As for me, Jesus was always with me, blessing me, providing for all my needs, giving me great jobs. He healed me from the pain I had in my sciatic nerve, which could be so painful at times. And do you remember when I had signed over those two houses so that Maurice could buy his business? Well, one morning as I was watching a Christian show, I received a word from God. It was from Mark 10:29 and 30, and it says, "Let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything, home, brother, sister, mother, father, children, or property, for love of me, and to tell others the good news, who won't be given back 100 times over with persecution. All those things will be his here on earth, and in the world to come, he shall have eternal life." I knew in my heart the reason I had signed those papers was because of my love for Jesus. And it was like those words from God were spoken right to me. I received his promise that very moment, and I shared with my sister, asking if she would pray and believe with me for a house. She agreed, and that same morning we started praying and believing God for his promises to come to pass. We prayed faithfully. It took 6 years of standing and believing by faith that God would come true. At times, my faith was down, but my sister's faith was up, and sometimes it was the other way around. But the day came when God provided me with the land, and when only by his grace, he got me this contractor who agreed to build me a beautiful little home. March of 1977, I signed the paper, and in mid-1988, I was moving in. 25 years ago, this month. Do you know that God's timing was absolutely perfect? He always knows best, even though sometimes we think he's late. And in May of 1999, Bridget got married to Paul, the love of our life. She was very happy that her dad was able to be there in spite of his health. I know it meant a lot to her. A few months later, I got news that Morris's health was really bad, that he had many strokes and was paralyzed on one side. The family took him to a convalescent home in Waterford. My sister and I went to see him maybe once a month and brought him some goodies that we knew he liked. We kept praying and believing for God to bring someone on his path to tell him about Jesus and his love. But it seemed every time we saw him, his attitude got worse. We tried talking to him, but he wouldn't hear any of it. Bridget called me up one day to tell me that they had taken her dad to Lawrence Memorial. He had a small heart attack, and he had pneumonia. I asked Pastor Randy if he could go and pray for him. He agreed. My sister and I went with him. On our way to the hospital, I was sharing with Pastor about the word I had received from God maybe 30 years before, and also about my dream, which was to me a confirmation of his promise. I remember saying to him, "I don't know who God will use to tell Morris about Jesus and his salvation, but I know that I would be the last person on the earth that God would use." We got to his room. I introduced Morris to Pastor Randy. Then he asked Morris if he could pray and read Psalm 23 to him. And because of his oxygen mask on his face, he just nodded yes. After doing that, Pastor Randy went downstairs telling his girl to take all the time we needed. After he had left the room, I was still there by Morris's side. The Holy Spirit took over. I placed my hand on his heart, told him I would like to see him in heaven someday. And I asked him if he would say in his heart after me, the prayer for salvation. And he nodded yes. So we prayed. When we left his room, I could hardly believe that God, what God had just done for Morris, and how gracious and how faithful he had been to me, letting me know without a doubt that he had answered and he had fulfilled his promise to me. It was only a few days later, Morris went to be with his Lord. How wonderful to know that he was with Jesus. What a peaceful and grateful heart I experienced at that time. I couldn't thank Jesus enough for his grace that was given to me on that day and for his Holy Spirit who had taken over at that very moment. Remember that Jesus is no respecter of persons. And what he did for Morris, he will do for you too. He loves us so much. No matter what has happened in my life, I wouldn't want to change anything at all. I had good days and I had bad days. But I can say to you with a sincere heart, I wouldn't want it any other way. Through it all, with the grace of God and his love, I learned to draw closer to Jesus, to trust him more, to know him, and to love him more and more. As I walk with him by his side on this journey of life, each and every day. Money couldn't buy this relationship that I now have with Jesus. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can compare to the love that Jesus has for you and for me. I am so ever grateful and thankful for all that God has done for me in my life. How he has blessed me with my wonderful daughter, who is so precious to me, my beautiful family, my friends, my church family. Jesus provided great job where I would need to work 84 hours a week so that I could help with Bridget's wedding and to pay for my mortgage, which, by the way, it's all paid for because Jesus made it happen. To top everything else, God has blessed me with an incredible family as my neighbor. I call them my angels. It's 25 years this month that I'm in my home. I never had to buy a lawnmower. Whatever I need to have done in my yard, summer or winter, I can always count on Mark and Nancy to do the work with a smile. What a blessing they are. To everyone, never give up. Jesus loves you, and he is the answer you've been looking for. God's word tells us, God delights in blessing his children. No good things would he withhold from those who walk uprightly. All we need to do is obey God and leave all the consequences to him. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Pastor.